Hi, I'm Emily, and I'm about to have dinner in Old Town, and you're listening to Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Yeah, go out to dinner. It's that time. Happy New Year's weekend. Thank you for that introduction. Good morning and welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. It's wonderful to be here with you today for show number 898. What we do here on this program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. Bob Ferguson is our engineer on duty today. So good morning to Bob. And yeah, New Year's weekend. Congratulations. You made it through 2023. And yes, let's count that as a win. Oh, and don't worry, we're not talking about New Year's resolutions on today's show. I mean, come on. There's a tendency to look back on the year that was when we get to the end of December, and I feel like that's getting more difficult with each year as our collective memory seems to atrophy with each passing set of 12 months. So I'm not going to pick apart the year on this show today. These days, sometimes a week feels like a year, you know? I will say that Chicago and Chicagoland went through a lot this year. Have things gotten better around here? Well, that depends on who you ask. What I've noticed is an uptick in those who criticize online. It seems to me that as our collective memory fades, our desire to lash out at others online increases. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing bad about taking the time to critically analyze an issue you feel strongly about and then stating publicly a well-informed and reasoned opinion, but that's just not happening on incredibly popular internet platforms these days. It's easy to scream an uninformed opinion online, and it's even easier to find these opinions and take them as facts. An issue that I've talked about many times on this show is the need for strong local journalism that is rooted in truth. Although Chicagoland has some good options when it comes to this, we've lost too many of these trusted news outlets, especially across the state of Illinois. In order to understand many of the issues we experience in our region, we require nuanced thinking rooted in facts. And we're just not getting that when so many of us rely on places like Twitter and Facebook for our news. Two big local issues in 2023 were crime across the city and the perception of a crime-ridden Chicago, and how local businesses are struggling in some areas. And there's an intersection when it comes to these issues, and today on the show, we're going to hear from four people who can speak to these issues. Recently, I visited the area of Division and Damon in the Wicker Park neighborhood and had the opportunity to sit down with Division Street business owners Katie Coleman of the boutique Mulberry and Me, Mario Ponce of the restaurant Taquito Kitchen, Scott Weiner of the sports bar The 50-50, and Philippa Janik of Janik's Cafe, where this conversation was recorded. We're going to hear how 2023 was a tough one for them and explore some solutions about how we can make 2024 a better year. This New Year's weekend, you don't need more hot Twitter takes. Let's hear from Chicagoans themselves. So here we are in a neighborhood that has been growing and is a dining and shopping destination over the last 20 plus years. This area along West Division Street in the Wicker Park neighborhood. But 2023 was a difficult year in this community. There was a decline in guests patronizing local business and an uptick in crime. So we're here today in this community to discuss some of these issues with those who are impacted by these challenges. With us sitting here at Janik's Cafe, Philippa Janik, the owner. Thanks for having us over here.
This is great. Thank you. Welcome.
And I've been here many times, and I would always get the huevos rancheros.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, my God. So good. So
okay,
good. So,
that's great.
So thanks for having us here in your restaurant here at 2011 West Division Street. Also with us is Katie Coleman, the owner of Mulberry and Me, just a few doors down. Katie, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Mario Ponce is the owner of Taquito Kitchen right next door. Delicious.
Thank you. Indeed, thank you. Welcome.
You got it. And Scott Weiner, the owner of the 50-50, the wings, man. The wings are out of control. They're so good.
It's keeping us going after all these years.
That's right. So, but you'll take it, right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this community. You're all owners here. Katie, I'll start with you. What is it about this particular community, this stretch of Wicker Park, that you really love, that you appreciate? You have your business here. Why?
You know, I moved here 20 years ago, and I've never left Wicker Park. I just felt like it was a small, inviting community. You can walk down the street and basically get anything you need. And I, you know, stumbled into Mulberry and Me as a customer and found a great community of women who helped me with my fashion choices, which was something that I really loved at the time. And I decided I was going to buy the business. And why not do it in my favorite neighborhood? So that was what I did.
That's why you're here. So, Mario, same question to you. Taquito Kitchen's been here for 10 years. Mulberry Me, I think we said 15. You've been here for 10 years. Tell us why you're here.
Sure. You know, one of the things that appealed to us were, at the time, the activity.
Yeah.
A lot of pedestrian traffic in this area. But if you notice, the sidewalks are also larger than normal. So there was plenty of room for outdoor patio dining, a lot of room for pedestrians. What do you call those? Baby carriers, etc.
Yeah.
So that was really appealing to us. And of course, the fact that we had wonderful neighbors was important to us. So at the time, we were a modern taqueria. At the moment, nobody knew what a modern taqueria was. And sure enough, we opened. I remember when we opened on March 20th, it was 21 degrees outside, and we didn't think anybody was coming. Now, we only seat 70 guests, and over 120 people showed up that day, which said to us, we had something here. We thought it was special.
Yeah.
So that brings me back to some really good memories.
Well, and speaking of the sidewalks, I think about, and this is no disrespect to a place like Lincoln Park, but my goodness, when you try to walk down the streets or the sidewalks of Lincoln Park and you're bobbing and weaving, here you've got some space to move, which is really cool. Philippa Janix, 20 years, and we're sitting here in your restaurant. Why this area?
Well, I live not too far from here. It's my community. I've been here for 40 years now. And my husband and I were looking for a place near the house, near our children's school. And what really helped us was our touch to be close to the schools and welcome all those families that went to the schools that they attended and other schools around. And basically, I feel like this is a family neighborhood. When we opened, it was full with, carriers with the kids.
Yeah.
And a lot of people on the street, a lot of dogs. And the same with the sidewalks, nice sidewalks. They didn't have a good sandwich place around here. So we're like, okay, well, this is the place for us. And this is why we opened here.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here. And Scott, the 50-50, I mean, has taken off 15 years, almost 16 years in this community. Why did you want to come here with your business?
I think it's the same story as everyone else. We lived in the neighborhood, and at the time we opened in 2008, I recognized that there wasn't a sports bar in this area. And I signed my LOI here in Janix. I still will refer to you as Mrs. Janix because
thank you.
I'm polite. And to me, you were kind of like a mother of the neighborhood, everyone's mom in the neighborhood. So it was the community. We saw a great opportunity. And back then, the kids and the kids now, I guess I'm no longer one, but the youngsters in their 20s would start at one end of the neighborhood and come all the way over to us at 50-50 and then go back the other way. And we just saw that and like, wow, what a dynamic community and such great. Mulberry and Me was open. I mean, it was right around the same time. And it was just like, this is exactly what it means to be a neighborhood restaurant, neighborhood business. This is the place to be.
I think the common theme here with what you're saying is that connection to community. And I always say that the people that know the most in any community are the barbers and the bartenders, you know, because they're seeing everyone. And I think you could also extend that to folks that work at places like this, certainly, like, as you are the
yes.
unofficial mother of the community,
yes.
Philippa, which is
yes.
great. But really, you think about the things that you see and the people that you talk to. And when you think about what makes a neighborhood, what makes Chicago, Chicago, I think that is something that we have to think about, right? Like, you are incredibly connected, more so than so many other folks. So with that in mind, I mean, Janix is clearly a meeting place, right? As a restaurant, the 50-50 as a restaurant, bar, sports bar, for sure. Taquito the same way, Mulberry and Me. The support, let's just talk about the support that the businesses and the people traditionally, historically, have given to each other here in the businesses in this community. Scott, what has that been like here? What's that support been like from either business to business, patron to business? What's that been like historically?
Well, there's never been a competitiveness, in my opinion. And there's always been the attitude on this street where another restaurant's opening. Good. More people are going to come here for the first time, and that's better for everyone. At the time, I remember we opened, Small Bar was next to us.
Oh, yeah.
And Ty was like, man, we're so happy you're here. We're up 20% year over year. And, you know, we all brought new people to the neighborhood. And I think the Meraki Room was a place where Diane, she was my tenant above Roots Pizza on Chicago Avenue. And then she told me she wanted to do a salon for herself. I helped her negotiate her lease. And I think, like, I think she's wildly successful over there now. So I just kind of look at, like, this community here has been like nothing I've ever seen. And we do have restaurants in other parts of the city. Nothing compares to this.
Yeah.
It's special.
Do the three of you also see that sort of, you know, support and collaboration with what you do?
1,000%. I think, you know, as a retail owner, I get together with a lot of the other, especially women who own little boutiques on the street, and we're all shopping in each other's stores. We're trying to support each other, referring. And I know, you know, the owners down at Penelope and Gemini, they have us on a list, like, hey, go check us out at, go check Mulberry out. If they don't have something, you know, we will, vice versa. It's, I just feel like everybody's there to help you, not, you know, not mention your name by any way. So it's just a great community.
That's something I've noticed too in this community over the years. I mean, these boutiques have really sprouted up, and I've, admittedly, I don't frequent many of them, but I've wondered, like, you know, how does everyone stay in business when you have someone else that could be a competitor, right? But maybe isn't looked at as a competitor. How that works? And you're saying it's not necessarily competition; it's more of a support system.
It is, and I think we all do a really nice job. We want everyone to stay in business, so we know, hey, they're carrying this at their store. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take that away from them. They're a great store. They've been here a long time. So I think we just all really play nicely together.
Which is important.
It very.
Philippa and Mario, thinking about the support system here, you're next door to each other. Your businesses, what's that been like?
It's been great. You know, Mario is a great person to, you know, whenever we have good times, bad times, we kind of like share it. And, hey, why don't you do this to, you know, get business up? Or, like, not too long ago, I always offer any kind of store, any kind of business that opens up. Like, you know, when the smoothie place opened up, I told her, I said, like, hey, you know what? Give me some of your postcards, and I'll put them. I do a lot of delivery, so let's put it on our delivery bags, you know. And then she found, you know, she saw a lot of people coming in because we were advertising for her. We do deliveries within 2 miles of the city, of our area, and so that helped. Not too long ago, Mario decided, hey, why don't we do this marketing postcard, and we put on one side Taquito and another side Janix, and come and get 10% or 15%, whatever. So I put it in my bags, too. And we've gotten a lot of people. What's nice that I find that I'm open during the day, so when people are drinking at night there, I know that they're going to come during the day. They're going to come and visit us, right? And they know that we are, you know, two businesses that are working together along with everybody on the street. So
that's great. Mm-hmm. And this area, so we're here at Janik's Cafe, and this is a great space. Lots of people over the last 20 plus years have come here. I mean, I was talking to Mario before we started, and if you could rewind 25, 30 years ago, Division Street looked a lot different, and the vibe here was a lot different. I was in college back then, and I remember this is up at Loyola in Rogers Park, and we thought we were so cool because we were coming down to the double door, and oh my God, is it? Are you going to come back? You know, like that's that, and I think that might have been blown up a little bit, but also like there was a very serious gang and crime problem here. Yes. 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so, and the businesses, I remember I moved in here when I was like 23 in this area. And I remember that at night, things got a little, if you wanted to go to a bar or a couple bars, all right, but you're rolling the dice maybe. So that has definitely changed. I mean, this place has blown up, which is great. But let's talk about some of the challenges that exist today. I said at the beginning of this conversation that you're not seeing as many people. At least that's what we've seen in 2023. Can you just give us a sense of what that means? It's one thing to say, okay, people aren't coming to the business. Okay. But you as a business owner, this is your livelihood. What does that mean for you? What does that look like? Mario, why don't you start us off here? Give us a sense of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, certainly. I can share this, and I've shared it with my neighbors already. This has been the most difficult 9 to 12 months we've had since we've been open in 10 years. And so that right there is my red flag. Like, whoa, what's going on here? Something's going on here. And then when I spoke to my neighbors, I learned that the feeling was mutual, that we were all having a difficult year. So then, of course, the question was, what can we do about it? Now, I don't think we have all the answers right now, but here's what we know, that the people that are coming to visit us today are enjoying the experience. We have yet to meet anybody in our restaurant that has been affected by crime, which I find rather fascinating. Moreover, my staff don't feel unsafe either. And when I turn to my left and I turn to my right, no one else is feeling that. But I think the media, or rather our smartphones, really exasperate this crime. It's affecting us. And what we're trying to do is get the message that we really feel good about what's happening here. We really need everyone to come back and join us.
And we've seen people have been here. So we know that people enjoy the experience. Katie, I look to you. What does this mean for you when we say, okay, 2023 was a difficult year business-wise? What does that mean for you?
Well, you know, I think as you were saying, this is our livelihood. And as a small business owner, you're already wearing many different hats. And, you know, I kind of am the only person in my store, minus a couple part-timers here and there. But it definitely affects our hours, how many hours we can have people coming in to help us. So that means, you know, I take on a little bit more. And, you know, it just affects everything, you know, how much inventory I can bring in. You know, if people aren't coming in the door, we have to look at what we can, you know, do differently next year. So it just affects every aspect of it.
Hmm. And Scott, running a bar, which I it's funny, like I just thought about this, a couple friends of mine in college, we said, wouldn't it be fun to run a bar one day, you know, when we were going to bars a lot? And when you get a little older and you think about just running a business, my God, and then throw alcohol in the mix and everyone's drinking that, I don't even know if I could, I can't even fathom that right now. So what has this year been like for you, 2023, compounded with everything we're talking about?
Well, you know, looking around the city, actually, a number of our establishments have definitely, specifically in some of the neighborhoods, have been down a little bit. So I think that you know, there's an inflationary, people are responding to difference in prices, but I feel like Division Street has been hit the hardest, and I'm not sure why, because I think there is the perception of crime, but like you said, it's affected our hours. So instead of being open until 2 or 3 in the morning, we close at 10 p.m. or 12 a.m.
Really?
for the first year ever, 50/50 is closed on Monday, Tuesdays. We always took great pride in saying we're going to be open 7 days a week. We're going to be here in the community. We're open when you need us. But it just doesn't make financial sense anymore. We've had to cut hours, labor. We haven't taking any shortcuts in the quality of what we're doing, because we suspect at some point it's going to come back. But, you know, because all of our employees live in the community, we live in the community, ultimately it's a fulfilling prophecy here if we're now not spending as much money in the community either. So, you know, yeah, it's been a frustrating year, and I hope I could say it's cyclical. Maybe the Kennedy being under construction, we don't see as many people this year who have been coming from the suburbs. Maybe they're hearing about the crime. I think it's just a compounding thing with that, the inflation, all these things. But ultimately, what does it do is it withers a community.
Right. The whole blame it on the pandemic thing, I don't know if we're past that yet. I have no idea. But do you think that, I mean, obviously the pandemic, everything shut down, right? So nobody could go anywhere, patronize any business. But Philippa, do you think we're seeing any of that pandemic fatigue residue that's still, or do you think you're totally past that and now we're on to something else, why people aren't showing up?
Yes, we passed the COVID part. There are a lot of city regulations on the street. Like some of them are like after midnight, people cannot park on Division.
Really?
Yes. They can't park from 12 to, what time? 6?
6 a.m.
They can't park 12 to 6 all year round, right? So why would people go out? Where are they going to park? So that right now stopped the bar business on the street.
Yeah.
So whoever was open till 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. During the week, that is out. So less people coming in, right? So those people that were getting out until 3 a.m., they knew where they were going to come in the morning to eat, right? I mean, anywhere on the street. So it was like a chain, you know? You eat out at night, and then you in the morning you visit the other business in the area. We're not seeing that now.
And I think to your point on that, there's a perception. Now, the reason that they did that was because, you know, the alderman believes that people are going to their cars and doing bad things in their cars and bringing it into. But on the other side of that, now we've had a successful bar business on this street for 20 years, and the rules worked just fine. But one of the things that when you cut out all cars on a street at a certain time, the street feels empty. It feels scary. It takes the vibe away that there would be with cars. So there's been some things that I would say, yeah, the pandemic isn't our issue anymore. To a certain extent, local government's been our issue. You know, decisions that were made because they sounded popular to a couple people. You know, they all these things have consequences, and that's what we're experiencing too. Is now the street does feel barren at midnight, mm-hmm. and people don't leave at midnight; they leave at 11. You know, they're afraid to get that ticket by accident.
Let me add to that, Scott, because you brought up a really good point that I want to make. Do you remember we had a beat cop that would come in almost every single day to say hello, how you doing?
Every day.
We like Miguel so much that when he retired, aside from going to his retirement party, we still keep in touch. But regrettably, that was about it was just before COVID, and I don't think we've seen a beat cop since. As an example of the changes that we've had. That can easily change, I think, meaning perhaps with some pressure there in terms of how important that was to us. Has it made a difference? I think it has to a certain degree. Would I like to see that change? Absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, you're business owners here, and what has it been like working with the city of Chicago? Because they do have regulations, right? And we were talking about that, but just in terms of vocalizing what you need, right, and feel like you have someone that represents you, this alderman, what has that been like? Has it been a good relationship? Has it been difficult? Are you getting responses? What has that been like for you?
I'm also fairly active with the Illinois Restaurant Association, as is Mario. I'm vice chair, and I'll paint the picture like this. When we first opened, Daly was the mayor. And it was, if you needed something at the city, talk to my guy that will talk to his guy that will talk to his guy. And it worked slow as a bureaucracy. Mayor Emanuel came to office and it said, business is open. We're going to make your lives easier. We're going to cut through all that. We want to see businesses strive. We're also going to make sure that public servants and everyone's taken care of. Mayor Lightfoot, she had a very delicate balancing act, and I miss Mayor Lightfoot tremendously because I think she kept a lot of the, I'll just say it, a lot of the crazies at bay, frankly. She kept, she had a very difficult job, but I would say that nothing's been worse for business in the current administration. It just feels like, if you don't like it, you shouldn't be in business is the attitude we get. And, I don't think like anybody in the restaurant industry right now feels like they truly have a voice. So I feel like I hear from other businesses outside in retail, I feel like everything that we say falls on deaf ears.
Wow. The response from the city, Philippa, I'll go to you first. What's that been like?
Well, we do not get the help when we need it. We during the pandemic, we were giving some money from the city to build up our canopy, right? That's one example.
Outside.
Yeah. We submitted that. We used that money for that. So COVID finished, right? So I applied for this year, right? And they told me that I had to take it down because canopies like that over the patio are not allowed anymore.
Really?
And so all the money that we put into this to service the people that couldn't come inside and eat was taken away from this administration.
Did they give you a reason as to why?
Because a lot of them have collapsed. So that was the only reason. So I walk around and I see other places still with the canopy, but that's okay. They're lucky that they weren't, but there was no chance for us to, fight that. It's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. And, this is what we're facing right now. That's just one example of what's going on.
What's amazing to me is, I hear that story and Philippa, you're very... You take it in stride, and so I commend you for that. But it's also like, what the hell? I mean, you've been here for 20 years. You are a staple of this community, as all of your businesses are. You would think that maybe someone would say, someone higher up would say, you know what? We've got to preserve this. This is a pretty simple thing. We'll just make sure, we'll inspect the canopy. I don't know. Just make sure it doesn't fall.
Yes, exactly.
But it's something that I know I have experienced that canopy, right, in years past. So the fact that this mechanism doesn't exist for someone to think like a citizen or a member of this community, I think that's pretty sad. And it's pretty messed up when you think about it. Mario, what about you and your response to this question about what's it been like working with the city, the response that you've gotten with the city?
So the Department of Business Affairs, in my opinion, has been excellent for us. They've been highly responsive and helpful. And then more recently, I did get a chance to sit down with the alderman, Daniel Laspada. And I have to tell you, I was impressed with him. He listened to us. But I also felt he was limited in terms of how he could help us. Meaning he could give us recommendations like, have you spent time with the chamber? It was perhaps one of his more important solution points. And then the second is there was an idea about what to do in the summer. However, the question we had is, what can we do now? Because we're having the issue today. And the answers were somewhat limited. But I did get the sense that he was listening and looking also for solutions and really leaning on perhaps the police department to do their job. Which is tough these days,
right?
But my sense of him was good. Just we need help and we need it today, and that's the tough part of us.
I think there is working with a lot of the local aldermen is they feel rather hamstrung by the city's bureaucracy and the administration as well. Alderman Laspada is a great guy. And he earnestly wants to help us. He just doesn't have the answers. And the reality is our chamber doesn't either. To me, 2013 was when they shut down the Shakespeare Theater, the Shakespeare police station. And that right. was Mayor Emanuel. And I think it was a terrible decision. That's when we first started seeing our bar business slowly degrade. But the reality is that there's nobody who's had an answer to that since. And we've all been given some support and emotional support, some nice hugs, you know, but nobody has an answer. And, you know, what we seem to find out now is that this just isn't a priority it's not a priority for anyone at City Hall to fix this in this neighborhood or many of the neighborhoods. They're focusing on other areas. Other things are important.
Well, I think that's important, Scott, that we're here in the first ward. We're here in Wicker Park on Division Street right now. But what we're saying, I think you could probably hear a refrain in other parts of the city of Chicago as well. We're focusing on this area. We're kind of keeping it hyper local here because this area was rocking for a long time. And this year was a really it was a difficult year. And there were a lot of struggles. So you brought up that police station over on Wood Street that closed down 2013. There's been an uptick in crime here in this district, up I think it was robberies are up something like 61%, and so people read that, and that's a real thing, right? That's data, and they say, well, geez, I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be a part of that, so why would I risk my own well-being and go out in that? So I'm wondering here, what do you want to see from the city of Chicago? Is there anything that the city could do? And yes, they could be more responsive and the bureaucracy could be quicker, but is it opening up that police station again on Wood Street? Or is there anything immediately that the government can do to help out businesses that have had a tough year in 2023?
Well, I think that the problem here, I see it from my point of view, is like, once the criminal is caught, nothing is done. They go in and out. I think they need to do something about it and be penalized for whatever crime they're committing, right? And then, you know, things will get better. Like it's like if you let your kids run the show, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to destroy the city.
Yeah.
And this is what's going on.
Yeah, No, I mean, it's a number of things like that, but I think if we're really trying to, what can we do today? I think the beat cop needs to follow the sales tax, and because that's where the hub of our communities are, the local businesses. Because local businesses, our employees are also local, they spend money within the community. When the local businesses close, people shop on Amazon, and that hurts all of us, you know. Or they order delivery via a third party and you know, put a middleman between us. So the beat cops follow the sales tax. I think that's how we can slowly turn things around quickly. Sure, I'd love to see the 13th open again. I mean, as long as we're borrowing $100 billion?
Something like that, yeah.
As long as we're borrowing $100 billion, I mean, why can't we also reopen that for...
Throwing a police station.
Exactly. You know, for $1 million a year.
Yeah.
So I look at it, that would be... Those are two things that could help today and make an impact tomorrow.
What about this talk of private security? I know other areas of the city of Chicago have had hired, I should say, a private security force, essentially, a few private security officers to come on out and kind of patrol the streets. Is that something that perhaps you would like to see in this area of Wicker Park and on Division Street?
In some of my other establishments, we've been a part of hiring the private security, and it's nice to have presence, but the reality is our officers, so I think everyone at this table, we give 50% off to officers in uniform that dine in our restaurants, mm-hmm. any one of our restaurants, because the presence is what matters. And the private security doesn't just have, what I've realized is in the busy commercial districts, it's not the same presence. Where that's really effective is in the neighborhoods. You know, so in somebody's actual neighborhood, when kids are walking home at night, you know, from school, whatever, that's where it's effective. It's not as effective on the commercial districts. We've tried it on Wells Street, and it helps. But at the end of the day, the real guys in blue are the ones we need.
One of the issues we have also is the expense involved. We've got to pay for it, and our margins already are tight, thinly tight, and so to incur another expense means we have to raise prices or sacrifice profits. So it's a tough balance for us when we're already forced with minimal margins, if you will.
You know, as a retailer and going into other retail stores, I've definitely seen, you know, some of the security guards that they've hired. And, you know, I think it definitely helps. But I also feel like I've had people come in my store and I've watched them take things off my shelves. And to be honest, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to put myself in harm's way for that. So I sometimes wonder, well, what are these hired security guards really going to do over a, you know, a $20 t-shirt? Are they going to do that? So it's, again, it's another expense that we have to add in. And it just, to me, makes people a little bit more apprehensive to come in. Why is there a security guard standing in this little clothing store? So I think there's just a lot of questions on how that would really affect a business.
And one of the things for you that's interesting, and I hear this on the West Coast a lot, is that we've monetized theft because people are selling your clothing now on Amazon and all these other sites. And basically we've created a fence so people can buy drugs. And there could be things that's also that the city can do to, you know, prevent certain things with these giant corporations outside of this state from monetizing the theft that they're taking from you. Because, yeah, they're not wearing... Mulberry Me is an amazing women's boutique, and the people stealing it from you aren't wearing your clothes. They're fencing it.
So, okay, we've talked about some challenges here. And we've talked about your love of this community, which is obvious because you're here, you're talking to me, and we're here in Janex, right? So let's look ahead to 2024, and let's talk about, let's end on an optimistic note here. Let's talk about what you're going to do to try to get people in, but also why people should come to check out your businesses. Why do people need to come to this area of Chicago in the Wicker Park area, this Division Street area? Katie, I'll start with you. Tell us why, Mulberry and Me, why we need to go there and what you're excited about for 2024.
Well, I'm always excited for a new season of clothes in this industry. You know, I'm just always looking forward to all the new trends that are coming in, and we really focus on contemporary clothing at, you know, a really fair price, I think. So we try to make sure we have a good balance for everybody coming into the neighborhood. You know, we have girls in their 20s, you know, new moms in their 30s, and then upwards of 40s and 50s. So we like to have a good balance for everybody. So we feel we're strong enough to do that. And we provide styling services for those who struggle a little bit in that. So we're just always excited to help people look and feel their best. And a lot of them are local women to the area, which we absolutely love. So we just always get excited to see them coming back because they know us and they trust us.
So you're excited for 2024?
I am, yes.
I love it. I love it. Philippa, let's go to you. We're in your restaurant here at Janex Cafe on Division Street. 2024 is coming up. Why should we come here? What are you excited about?
Well, new families probably are going to be moving into the neighborhood because this is an exciting community. Get to meet more people coming to visit, you know, the whole street, either businesses they want to come to. And just waiting for all those kids to come in and get their Mickey Mouse pancake.
Which my now 8-year-old, when he was born, when he was really young, he had some of those Mickey Mouse pancakes here, so I love that. Scott, what about you? Looking ahead to 2024, why should we check out 5050, and what are you looking forward to?
Well, I wish I could say I was looking forward to successful Chicago Bears or Bulls or Blackhawks. But
yeah, we should start drinking now.
We've learned we have to be more than just a sports bar to be successful in Chicago these days.
Right.
But if you know, the 5050 has been around for a long time, 15 years, and if you want to meet the people that live, work, eat, and drink in the community, you know, the 50 is where they hang out.
And great food. I got to say, great food.
Thank you.
You got it. Mario, also great food. And Janex, everyone's great. Everyone's great. Why Taquito, and what are you looking forward to in 2024?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. We're doing something remarkable, something that we've never done in 10 years. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
We're lowering our prices.
Whoa.
And I'll tell you why we're doing it, is I'd rather bring people in who are price sensitive than not have anyone in at all. And I'm happy to be at that. The benefit of our cuisine is that our food cost is pretty good. So we can afford to take a hit a little bit on that by lowering our prices during this period in order to get people to come back and hopefully return and return and return. So that's what we're going to do. We're not minimizing the quality at all. Same product, just lower prices because we want you to come back.
That is remarkable. I mean, I'm trying to think of where else you can hear the prices are going down next year. So that's pretty impressive. Well, look, thank you all for being here. This was really a cool conversation. This is one of my favorite areas of Chicago. And my mom grew up at Damon and Crystal. Mm-hmm. So I've heard growing up stories of this area, and I've had relatives that have lived in this area. I have lived in this area. So the fact that I think 2023 was hard is hopefully going to make us all a little stronger going forward. And hopefully people that hear this conversation will get on out and check out your businesses. We will link up to all of these businesses through our channels. But again, we want to thank Katie Coleman of Mulberry and Me, Mario Ponce of Taquito Kitchen, Scott Weiner of the 5050 right down the street, and of course, Philippa Janik, the owner of Janik's Cafe, where
thank
we are
you,
right
Mike.
Now. Thank you all for being here. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that just about does it. Outside the Loop show number 898 is done. Wow. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week and every time you listen to the show. It's been a great year. It really has. I'm fortunate to be able to do this each week. Fortunate to be able to talk to you. And I'm just thankful that you're around listening to this program. So let's keep it going into 2024. Thanks to Bob Ferguson for all of his help today in the studio. I hope you have a wonderful New Year's holiday. I will talk to you again next year right here on Outside the Loop.